Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. The Seahawks are going to Santa Clara. They're playing the 49ers this Sunday, and the game is at 1:05 p.m. This game, I'd say it still matters.
1:05, that's how you know it's a good one.
1:05, this wasn't the one that was flexed out of prime time, so they knew. They're like, all right, well, we can keep the second one at 1:05 for sure. But the Seahawks faced the 49ers for the second time in 3 weeks. The last meeting, the Seahawks won by a score of 43-16. I mean, just an overall dominant game. The Seahawks won the turnover battle in that game. This game could be different because it's in San Francisco. That's really all I got. But before we get into a more extensive preview of the game, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. Spike is a writer with A Stranger. To start things off, I guess this game is important just to get another win for playoff seeding. To
clinch the playoffs,
right,
Grant? If they win this game, nothing. I mean, like, technically other things matter in terms of if you get the 5 seed or the 6 seed, do you want to probably play Chicago or probably play Dallas? The answer is probably still Dallas, even though I think in some ways the ways in which Dallas has gotten better are more threatening to Seattle than the ways in which Chicago has gotten better as the season has progressed since their early season loss and win, respectively. Also, it's Pete Carroll, so the fact that we're not, there's no way he's, like, going to rest dudes against Arizona. Although he should. If we win the next two, if we somehow beat Kansas City, he should 100% rest Russell Wilson against Arizona. That is putting the cart very far before the horse, but that just occurred to me, so I needed to keep talking to get there live on the air. This is good stuff. Grant, what was your original point? What are we doing? Seahawks, it's a post-Cable Thanos world. Everything is weird now.
Everything is weird. And the Chargers, you know, beat the Chiefs, a team that the Seahawks played relatively close. But they totally, I'd say, they totally jacked Cable Thanos' style with their post-game
yeah.
hype video. So,
and
I
they
mean,
made it all military because they can't, even though they left San Diego, they still have that weird San Diego military conservatism, liberal. It's like a weird, the vibe in San Diego is very like California cool, but also lots of guns. It's weird, guys. Heads up, San Diego. Interesting place. Where are we? What is happening?
We're playing the 49ers again. It's in Santa Clara, not in San Francisco, because Santa Clara is like 40 minutes away. But I think the Seahawks, I mean, overall, when you look at both teams, Seahawks are by far the better team. They're playing better, although San Francisco just beat a Denver team that Seattle lost to, but those two teams are night and day compared to at the start of the season. I guess we can start with Seattle's defense going against San Francisco's offense, because I don't think it'll be the same as their first matchup where San Francisco passed for 386 yards. That's the actual stat I've been on record saying it was about 9,000 in the first matchup. But
I'm pretty sure you're right the first time. It was 9,000.
Right. But Seahawks defense is coming off their best game of the year. Both corners look so good against Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Dante Pettis did give Seattle a lot of trouble, although, you know, that was probably inflated a little bit by his long touchdown catch at the end of last game. So, you know, I think it's going to be an overall better day for Seattle's defense. They'll be able to kind of look better. They'd have another game under their belt to scout against Nick Mullins. I can't believe that's an actual statement that I just made. But, you know, once you figure out Nick Mullins, it's over for the 49ers.
Yeah. Well, and also they had, I think it's worth noting, even though I think he put the ball on the ground, he had some weird plays against us, but Josh Wilson Jr., I believe is his name, they're like fourth string running back, is actually playing pretty well. They looked okay this last week. I just caught him on red zone some. The 49ers are not the Cardinals. Like, we played them, and we all watched. If you watch that 49ers game, you know that scoreline is not necessarily indicative of how well the Seahawks played. The Seahawks were better than the 49ers. 100% deserved to win that game. But they caught some really nice breaks. The game flow broke more than just like getting lucky. What I mean is the game flow broke their way. The sequencing of events went in a sort of way that led itself to Seahawks football being the dominant mode of football that day, which is running the ball, you know, give it bend but don't break defense, forcing turnovers, you know, the little like those sorts of things were the game rather than play to play efficiency, where the Niners were much closer to the Seahawks than the what 20 plus point win would suggest. Going to San Francisco is not as tough as it used to be. Obviously, right. Santa Clara is not a fortress. But yeah, I wouldn't imagine this game is going to be as easy, as comfortable as the last one.
Yeah, and you know, more so than the entire defense, you know, keeping it going from that Vikings game, I'm going to look at the defensive line because early on in that game against the 49ers, what really set the Seahawks apart was their ability to get to Mullins and have some pressure in his face. Now I'm looking towards Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, you know, but mostly Clark to see if he can keep that that play going from the Vikings game. I mean, we said it a bunch of times, and I'll just briefly mention it, how much better he looked, you know, tackling the ball carrier, getting to the quarterback in terms of just pressures. I want to see him kind of feast on Sunday. It's going to start up front for the Seahawks again. I think if the Seahawks want to make it a comfortable victory, or if it's going to be a comfortable victory for the Seahawks, it's going to start with the pass rush. And so that's where they had success early on in this 49ers game. I wouldn't be surprised if they start to ramp it up a little bit more in terms of blitzing and getting some more pressure on Nick Mullins.
That's a really great point. We saw pressure work really well. Bobby Wagner, obviously, as a blitzer, has been really nice recently. The injury to Michael Kendricks, which we haven't talked about yet on the pod, does diminish our coverage ability a little bit behind Bobby. We saw the Seahawks go 7 DBs on a couple plays against Minnesota. I don't think we're going to need to do that against San Francisco. I don't think we're going to need to go. That package is called the Bandit Package. I don't think we're going to need to go full bandit blitz on them just because they're receiving threats. Like, part of what putting the bandit package on the field can do is you can end up triple teaming a guy like Stephon Diggs. As much as Dante Pettis burned us last time, I don't think Dante Pettis demands a triple team. He is not 100% catch ratio on the season, which Stephon Diggs is. That catch that he made on Trey Flowers, it haunts my dreams. And when I looked up that he has zero drops this season, I was like, oh, that makes total sense, because that's insane.
That Geico commercial that he's in where everything sticks to his hands. Yeah. There's a little bit of truth to that, apparently.
Yeah, a lot of truth. Oh, man. Yeah, man. Well, whatever. My next thought was, it'd be cool if the Seahawks had another receiver like that. I don't know. I read Mina's DeAndre Hopkins piece this week, and I watched Keenan Allen play yesterday and almost make the most incredible catch of all time. And I'm like, I love how well our receivers are playing. Doug is that perfect possession receiver. Lockett's that perfect speed receiver. I just want that guy who can do those things where, like, they just, like, stick one arm back, like Odell Beckham style, but, like, now everybody's doing it. Keenan Allen's doing it. Stephon Diggs does it, and the ball just sticks to their hands. Larry Fitzgerald does, you know. Yeah. I just want that. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not. I think if the Seahawks are listening right now, this definitely takes priority over drafting another pass rusher, getting some more safety depth, linebacker depth. This is priority number one.
Talking about putting the cart before the horse, debating whether or not the team should look at wide receivers in round one of the draft.
Oh, no. And this was completely satirical, but.
Yeah. No, I am like, I could make the argument that they should do that. I could make that argument. I won't believe it because they need a pass rusher, but they're so good at finding pass rushers in free agency. Oh, this is not the time. We need to take a break and reset the brain and come back and talk about the Seahawks offense. Am I right, Grant?
Yeah, you're right. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the next portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And hopefully the Seahawks don't do what we were just doing to the 49ers and totally overlooking their game because... Like Spike said earlier in the show, they can lock in a spot in the playoffs. And I think, you know, if you're going to look at it from an offensive standpoint, I think that the Seahawks are going to have to be a little more prolific through the air than they've been in the last couple of games, although Russell Wilson was really efficient the first time against the 49ers. I think that type of efficiency is rare on 17 pass attempts for any yes. quarterback. So, you know, I think he's going to have to improve. I mean, just from a sheer volume aspect, he's going to have to hit on more of his passing attempts because I don't think that they're going to give the ball. I think he's had 37 passing attempts through the first two games. The Seahawks love to set the tone on the ground. Brian Schottenheimer, loves to, you know, run on second and short where they can get some really good chunk games in the passing game. So I think, like we said, against the Vikings, his stat line could have looked a little better if not for a couple drops, if not for some pass interference. And so I think it's bound to improve the numbers. But in terms of the way the game goes, the Seahawks can break the 49ers back with explosive pass plays. They know they're going to run the ball, but in terms of just getting those pass plays like they did with Tyler Lockett against Michael Smith the first time around, I think they have to get these explosives through the air if they're really going to set themselves apart from San Francisco on Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Doug Baldwin plays. Not honestly in terms of getting the explosives, but in terms of opening up the explosives by A, drawing attention from Richard Sherman, who is their one above average D-back. Obviously, he's more than just above average, but that is huge for opening up the game for guys like Moore and Lockett. And also just like down to down rhythm, like those shots, the opportunities to take the shots come out of the game flow. And I feel like why the Seahawks were able to hit on so many shots in that game was like, A, Richard Sherman was like guarding George Fant or whatever on any given play. I know that that was a stack formation, but it looked funny and was good. but also, they were consistently, you know, running the ball and hitting Baldwin short or whatever they needed to do to open up those sort of deeper holes in the zone defense. Hopefully that just happens again. Baldwin being on the field would be really nice for that, but also just like Carson just trucking dudes would also work for that. I also want to see Carson get on the path to 1,000 yards.
Yeah,
he needs 70 yards per game in the remaining three games. So this is the, you know, let's get him at least 70 yards. Let's get him 100 yards. Let's make it easy.
Yeah, no, I think it's really in the realm of possibility for that to happen. In terms of him staying on the field for it, the game script is going to, you know, call for it to be close, but now at the same time, he's going to have to take care of the ball, and the whole offense is going to have to take care of the ball. The 49ers outgained the Seahawks. They had more first downs than the Seahawks the first time around, and you know, the reason why the Seahawks won so big is because they won the turnover battle 3-0. And so, you know, the defense being opportunistic, they're going to need to do that. They've done that, you know, for a lot of the games this season, but it's on the offense too for taking care of the ball. Going away from Richard Sherman is helpful with that. Akella Witherspoon's played better for them in the last couple of games, but you know, he's still a dramatic drop off from Richard Sherman. And the Seahawks have had they've had a lot of success actually targeting these other teams as second string corner or replacement corner when a guy's injured. So, you know, look, I think the Seahawks are going to look to obviously run the ball. They're going to give the ball to the running backs like 35 or 40 times, I think, on Sunday. But when they take it through the air and when Chris Carson has the ball, I think that's a really good opportunity to preach ball security.
Yeah, I totally agree. Russell Wilson's ability, with the exception of literally the most terrible play of his career, arguably, although the turnover that he had against the Vikings, it was at the end of the half, it's his game situation, it felt less like a real turnover and more like a sack that knocked him out of fumble or knocked him out of field goal range or something along those lines. In terms of how it played out, he doesn't release that ball if there aren't 6 seconds left in the half. And aside from that, man, he has not been turning the ball over. Like, yeah. If he's ever inaccurate, he's inaccurate high. You know, he's never inaccurate low and into dangerous areas. He's got time to process behind a offensive line that is somewhere between functional and fully rejuvenated, which means that I don't know if you guys have been watching Jake Heaps, former Huskies quarterback, former just like Seattle high school legend quarterback, maybe like the most legendary high school quarterback in Seattle history. He was on the Seahawks practice squad for a minute, and he has been doing these great breakdowns of how Russ has been processing the field for, I want to say, 7-10. And they've been excellent. And you can see in how he's processing the field sort of like why he isn't taking some of those shots and like how smart he's being with the ball and like when he can tell in a route structure, like when to actually fire the ball and when it won't be risky. And you just see like, even if you don't love the decision he's making, it's always understandable. It always makes sense why he's not throwing the ball, and it's usually about ball protection. He's just been so savvy and just so good on not turning the ball over recently. You know, since those sort of early, it was all those like five wides where he was targeting running backs and cornerbacks were sitting on those routes. Since those early mistakes, it's just been so, so solid. Yeah, let's keep it going. I think that is, and you know, again, cart before the horse, but if you ask me, what about this Seahawks team could, if they make the playoffs, propel them to a real run? And it is if they can win that turnover battle. If they, and Russell Wilson, the way he's been playing recently, is the quarterback who can do that. I mean, that said, a lot of these NFC quarterbacks, man, Aaron Rodgers hasn't turned the ball over in like 8 years. It's insane. Drew Brees doesn't really turn the ball over much, but Russ is right in that conversation.
Yeah. And, when you look at Russell Wilson's style of play, it's not just ball security. It's making these plays to win. He's not necessarily making these no-look passes, although I love them, and I'm not, you know, going against the no-look pass because that is beautiful. But, like, just small things, like when he slides down, you know, keeping himself healthy, preserving himself, that's a play to, you know, help the team win. It, and, you know, making the right read, or, you know, just even simply throwing the ball away. It's you know, the right play to win, and I think we see a lot of that out of Russell Wilson's game. The reason Aaron Rodgers throws the ball away like 10 times a game is because, you know, he makes those plays to win. And so I think we see a lot of that out of Russell Wilson, and that's always good out of your quarterback. You want a gunslinger, it's sexy football, but, you know, you also need, I'm not calling Russell Wilson a game manager by any stretch, but you need, you know, safe plays sometimes. And Russell Wilson makes those plays a lot of the time, which is good for the Seahawks because they like to pelt you to death with rocks, a.k.a. the running game. And so I think that's a good place to stop for this segment. We're going to come back with predictions for this game against the 49ers. It's in Santa Clara on Sunday at 1:05 p.m., and so whether that factors into the way you predict the game, I don't know. But it might for us. So stay tuned to hear more about that on the Locked On Seahawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. Like I said, we are going to do predictions. The Seahawks won the last matchup by a score of 43-16. They won the turnover battle 3-0, and they were just efficient when they had the ball in their hands on offense. And I think the Seahawks are going to, you know, have to do the same, although I'd like for them to look to be a little more aggressive when it comes to the passing game. But, you know, that comes with, you know, risking to turn the ball over a little bit more. I am going to pick the game in favor of the Seahawks. I don't think that's a stretch by any means. I think I predicted it to be like 27-20 when I talked to Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast. That's what I'm going to keep it at right now, or maybe 27-18. I think the Seahawks are going to win. They're going to lead throughout the most of the game, but the 49ers are going to try to inch their way back like they did, find success in that last game late in the game. So I think it'll be a little closer than Seahawks fans like. It'll cause a little panic before the Kansas City game, but I ultimately think the Seahawks will win and secure a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, the last game was scoregami. I'm going to predict another scoregami win. And I'm going to go 32-22, a score unprecedented in the history of the NFL, but that I believe the Seahawks can hit behind another great game from Russell Wilson. Super efficient. Get us to 32-22.
All right. You heard it here first. Another score got me on the way. When it comes to Spike predicting these Michael Dixon forced fumbles against the 49ers, me predicting Jordan Simmons getting a game ball against the Vikings, you know, we're bound to hit again, so look out for the scoregami. But I think
that 32 is just a really rare score in NFL history. You guys go to NFLscoregami.com and you can find all the scoregamis that haven't happened. Four, really rare score. So, you know, there we go.
Two safeties coming up.
11. 11 is the other one.
4 and 11. That's all right. So I'm going to keep my eye out for that. If the Seahawks game either goes really good for them or really bad. So look out for a scoregami either way. But I think that can do it for today's show. We want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for participating in the Shaquem Griffin shirt giveaway. Thank you guys for leaving any reviews on Apple Podcasts / iTunes.
Oh, yeah, and we were going to get a DraftKings league going this week, but it was I had finals, and the website was ever so slightly glitchy for me to set it up. So between those two things, it didn't happen this week. It will happen next week. You should still play DraftKings. You know, it's fun. You might be eliminated from all of your fantasy leagues, and this is a fun week to pick some Seahawks because I think Chris Carson is going to be huge this week. So just saying that, just want to put that out there.
Yeah, you know, why not get yourself more, you know, familiar with DraftKings and the way they do it? We are going to give a quick shout out to the people that left reviews on iTunes. Go ahead.
No, I said. Oh, I didn't check. You checked. You're a better host.
I can't say that definitively. We are going to read the reviews now. This one is from L. Jassy. You guys are the straw that stirs the drink. Thank you, Grant and Spike, for taking the time each week to crank this bad boy out. It's been really fun this year to follow this season with you guys and to listen to Grant's optimism and Spike's hesitation as the Hawks improve. My question, which QB not named Russell Wilson will have the most success on the Hawks? Which team would Russell Wilson fit best on, if not the Hawks? Last question, if Michael Big Balls Dixon stole your girl, would you even be mad? Thanks again. Nice work for getting that audio figured out. I think we can answer the Russell Wilson question next show. I think it's safe to say that Michael Dixon could do anything and be like, oh, well, what do you say? It's Michael Dixon, so.
That's how I'll put it. I'd rather he not.
But that's all we can do, because we'd have no choice in the matter if he did. We'll have another review by not Jermaine Effetti, and it says, three-headed monster is a thing. Start of the season looked like Carson and Davis. A few more games and Penny became a respectable back. Do you guys like what's going on with the running back group? Love this podcast. Keep up the great work. I think we can both speak – well, I can speak for both of us where we say – we love the production that's coming from the running game. You know, if the Seahawks are going to run the ball, it's nice that they're running the ball well.
And the diversity of running is great just because Carson has showed himself to be a little bit fragile. So huge, I think, to have a guy who can spell him in Penny, who's really good. They're very different runners. Still think they took him like 15 picks too high.
Yeah, I fully agree. And then the last review comes from Burger Master James. Great name. Grant, Spike, and Michael Dixon. These guys are fun and both have really good takes on the Seahawks games and news. They also have a devotion to future NFL Hall of Famer and Australian native Michael Dixon. Always come punt. Now, these were all 5-star reviews.
Always come punt is the right answer. We're come punting for your 5-star reviews.
Come punting against every other Seahawks podcast. And so, thank you guys. These were all 5-star reviews, like I said. And if you feel any sort of way about this podcast, go ahead and put that in Apple Podcast review, preferably 5 stars, but it can be a 4 or 2-star review. And we just appreciate you guys and your feedback. So, thank you guys. You can follow us on Twitter at our names, at Lock Seahawks is the show's Twitter. And, listen to us wherever you can find a podcast. So I think we'll end up on Pandora soon. I think that's still in the works. But keep an eye out for that, because that's always exciting to listen to us wherever you can find us.
Yeah, Yeah.
All right. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman also signing off.